What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Avenue Show, where you pick your own lane. As always, I'm your host, Jeremiah, and I'm going to leave it at that for right now. Well, you guys probably have a lot of questions. For those that watch the show, you know, we haven't uploaded in over a year. YouTube, Instagram, all of the socials we have. You know, a lot has happened the past year, 2021 to now. But, you know, I want to get into this episode. I want to have fun. I want to, you know, get back into this. I'll explain more about what's happening with the podcast later on in the episode. But if you're already watching this episode, you might as well be subscribed if you haven't already. Be sure to turn on notifications for more episodes like this. With that being said, let's just get straight into it. Today, we're going to be talking about the movie, TV show world, the realm, what's going on with that, and what studios are doing to prepare for projects in the future, projects that have been already released, some of the best, some of the worst this past year. But I need someone to accompany me with that. Someone that has as much knowledge or, in my opinion, more knowledge than me in these kind of things. So the guest I have with me today is one of my good friends who I met through Kevin. If you guys remember who Kevin was. This guest was born in Puerto Rico, but he grew up in Texas. He is a movie, anime, manga fanatic. Some of his favorite hobbies are photography and video making. And obviously his favorite hero is a Marvel legend himself, Morbius. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the John Rowland.
He's a Marvel legend, man. Like, how can I not love him?
It's Morbin time, bro. It's Morbin time.
Hi, guys. And, like, you had it start with Morbius. Like, you guys didn't hear me, but that got me. I was not expecting that. For how long have you had that one in the barrel?
Ever since April Fool's, so there you go.
Funny you should mention that, because someone made a GIF of the entire movie.
On Twitch, right?
No. I'm not talking about the live stream. I'm talking about a GIF, like a GIF.
Yeah.
Of the entire movie, like most of the movie. The entire, like half of the movie, an entire GIF. I found that out like on Twitter, and it's hilarious.
That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know about that. I don't know if you knew about this, but the Funko Pops for Morbius, they're not selling them, bro. They canceled it.
Yeah, because like of the performance of the box office, you know, which is funny. Like, either way, like you look at it from a sarcastic point of view to like a business point of view, that's a dumb decision, because like now everybody's feeling that morph, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about more, and it's Morbin time, man. And like, we need those Funko Pops.
Okay, see, I probably should mention at the beginning, you know, this is a PG show. This is, you know, it's somewhat a family show, but it's a PG show. Yeah. But, you know, even through all the, you know, funds and labs, you know, we try to, you know, have a conversation, talk about things that interest us. I mean, for you, John, it seems like it's movies and TV shows, like I mentioned before. But let me ask you about your personal life, what's happening right now currently.
Well, I work basically like every day, like, and like I'm basically full time in a way, because like I'm at any moment I can receive a work call. Right now, I have a YouTube channel. I'm gonna start pushing that a little bit harder.
Okay.
Rec Crusader Media. For now, it only has like fan made trailers. But I'm working to maybe do like video essays, you know, like get some topics going, you know, working on a Daredevil one right now. And eventually, like, we'll get to a Jurassic Park.
And speaking of Jurassic Park, I know that Dominion's coming out very soon.
Yeah.
So I know you told me you're going to watch that with your family. So are we going to see a video essay on that movie in particular, or just the whole franchise?
I think that what I'm going to do is that I'm going to touch upon first movie all the way to Fallen Kingdom, kind of like a build up to it. Now that I think about it, it would have been smarter to just like do it like 5 weeks ago, like each week one movie. But like I got the idea like last night. I was like, it was too late to turn back. So like it's gonna be like a retrospective video touching upon like each movie individually up Dominion. Dominion might be just its own thing.
Okay. Well, I know that's a very early plug for you, but you know, we'll mention your socials, you know, towards the end of the episode. But yeah, I'm excited for that. Hopefully that comes out very soon. Yeah. But John, you know, I want to also ask you, you know, it seems like you're very driven, you know, to do these kind of things. You know, obviously you do work, but you know, you're also very passionate about like movies, TV shows, trying to, you know, create videos. You need some inspiration, right? You need people to help you and correct you and give you some, you know, feedback. Mm-hmm. You know, that being said, you know, John, do you have anyone in your life right now that's been inspiring you to do what you're loving to do?
I mean, yeah, I mean, my friends, obviously. Like, I always go in and show stuff to my friends and be like, hey, like, what do you think of this? Like, especially, like, a friend of mine that you met recently, you know, like, when we went to see Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. I show stuff to him, too, because, like, I know, like, he's very objective. So, like, you know,
yeah,
he's not like, oh, that looks great, man. Like, no, like, he's like, if he looks like crap, he's like, it looks like crap. If it doesn't, he's like, actually, it's pretty cool. You know, so I trust his opinion. But yeah, you know, like, obviously, like, cliche answer, but family. You know, like, whenever you show something to them, they're like, man, that looks so cool. That always gets you going. But it always starts with an idea. Like, I get an idea and I'm like, it doesn't leave. And it's annoying. And then you just start doing something before you know it. Like, when it comes to, like, editing fan trailers, it usually starts with a song. I listen to a song and I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to go in and edit, make a trailer out of this song. Other times it's been the complete opposite. It's just like, I have an idea of like how this trailer should end. So like, then I just find a clip and I try to Frankenstein 3 different songs into one.
Yeah. I mean, no, thanks for sharing that. So, you know, it's awesome that you're able to, you know, get feedback, get honest feedback, right? It's not about like, you know, just, you know, sugarcoating or anything, you know, like that from your friends and family, it seems like. But for you, John, as a career, that's my last thing before we get into the main topic. Mm-hmm. Where do you see, like, where does John see himself at the peak, at the highest point of your career?
The peak right now would just be, I guess, making a feature. Just making anything, really. That would be kind of the peak. The thing is that I've learned that it's important to stay true to your goals and to your dreams and to that stuff. And to have plans. Plans are important, but life doesn't go according to plan.
Yeah, I think the past 2 years have taught that for sure.
Yeah, like many people had their plans ruined.
Yeah.
And it's like that old saying goes, you know, like, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.
Yeah.
That's
just,
yeah, like, you can relate to that.
No, I mean, like, I never heard that before. That's why it just shocked me. I was like, I have to think about it for a second. I was like, oh, wow, you're completely right.
I heard that one while I was in college. Funny enough, not from college, from a video that I watched during college.
Gotcha.
And, like, it always stuck with me. I'm like, okay, that's just my life. Because, like, you know, my life has always been, I want to do this. By this age, I want to have this. I want to have that. Doesn't work out, you know. So just know what you want to achieve. But you have to be adaptable. I think that's the main thing about life. You have to adapt, you know. Mm-hmm. Not that many people can make life, you know, like, do what they want. You have to do what life wants you to do. And what it's allowing you to do. Of course, like, you can, like, go and keep moving forward and, like, you know, let's say just go against the odds and always go against the odds. You know, you can't just keep being like tunnel visioned. You have to adapt, you know, and usually that's when people have problems. That's usually when people freak out. But like, hey, like, it's not the end of the world when you're put in that situation and you have to make the best of it. You know, I know that from life. I know that from work, like my actual work. And also like from doing this, like, things don't go according to plan. We often get mad at our parents because, like, sometimes just like too much in our business, but like, they care about us and like, they know they are pushing it because like, they know how hard it is. And like, when you tell them you don't have a plan B, that kind of scares them. because they're like, like, dude, like, if you don't have a plan B, that plan A doesn't work, you're screwed. And like, we know what screwed looks like. We don't want you to go through there, you know? And that's that's what happens when you get older, you know, you gain perspective on like how your parents think and like why they made decisions that they made, like when you were younger and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I asked you earlier about like your inspirations, and you mentioned your family. And that's a big inspiration for me too as well. I have a brother who's married, and his wife and I, my sister-in-law, you know, that's a relation. But, you know, she and I, she's closer to my age, so I'm able to relate to her more. Obviously, I go to my parents whenever I need even something I don't understand, as, you know, I'm still pretty young. You know, my parents have, you know, been in this country for long enough to where they know even like other things that I'm still trying to learn, right? So, yeah, I think it's very important, you know, before we get into like the main topic. I know I said we're trying to get to the main topic, but I think it's a very, you know, important moment for us to recognize, you know, John said it, you know, and I'm also being reminded to, you know, just value your relationships with your family and your loved ones, because you never know when you're going to need them, you know, and also help them too. Like, don't just receive, also give, right?
Yeah.
You know, and be disciplined. So, yeah, with that being said, John, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. With that being said, John, let's get into the meat and potatoes of this. Like I said before, we're going to talk about like our current watch list. Our current watch list. We're talking about some of the projects that have happened this past year. We're talking about the future, you know, of some studios, and then some other projects in the works. So
let's So can we say it's now truly Morven time?
It's Morven time. There you go. Okay, John. So for people that don't know, me and John, whenever we first met, we I mean, John can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like we didn't have much like in common until we later came to find out that we both like movies and TV shows, specifically like Marvel and DC. I don't know if John had a different point of view about me when he first met me.
I hated you. No, just kidding.
hey!
No, honestly, like, I just thought, hey, he's a nice guy. And the thing about me is that I'm socially sometimes like not that like fluid sometimes socially, but the moment like somebody shares one of my interests, I can talk for hours, hours and hours. You know, that's just how I've always rolled.
Yeah. You know, you do definitely talk about movies and TV shows a lot. We always exchange, phone call, text about everything movie related. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we get into any of those things, John, I got to ask you, as much as you do work, as much as you do, and you're trying to get a YouTube channel running and up and running, you know, you have some downtime. I'm assuming you have some downtime to like, you know, watch some TV shows, play some video games. But when it comes to like TV shows in your current watch list, what has been your go-to shows these days? And do you have like a go-to streaming platform like Disney Plus, Netflix, Hulu?
When it comes to streaming platforms, I'm pretty fluid. Like, I don't have like a preferred streaming platform. I guess out of the big ones, Netflix, I guess. But like, I go to Netflix, I go to like Hulu. Like, it all depends if you have what I'm looking for, you know, like that's it. I do have Disney Plus, and I'm a subscriber to the world famous 123 Movies, which is like the best streaming site in the world.
Of course.
But yeah, like, I just go like wherever I can get what I want, you know. When it comes to shows on my watch list, right now, when it comes to live action, Obi-Wan is the one I'm watching right now. I'm watching, when it comes to animation, you know, anime, like Spy X Family, Kill Me Can't Communicate, which is like, that's one of my favorites. I love that. It's a comfort show. I'm trying to get through Naruto right now. So I told a friend I was going to do it, and I'm doing my best. And like, I actually got through it pretty quickly, and I'm almost done with like OG Naruto, so I can get to Shippuden. I said that wrong. People are going to kill me for it. Yeah, those are the things that are majorly in my watch list right now. What about you?
You know, I'm a Barney Friends. No, I'm just kidding. Sesame Street, PBS kid. No, that was
you put respect into Barney's name. Like,
Oh my God. No, shout to the original dinosaur before the Jurassic Park, right? You know what I'm saying? Anyway.
That was kind of, yeah, that was a little bit before Jurassic Park, I think.
I probably got flipped then. Anyway, but he is an iconic dinosaur. But
yeah.
If I'm going to answer your question, I have a few streaming platforms. I mean, as much as you like 1-2-3 movies, I also like Onion Play. That is at the top of my list. But yeah, I mean, besides that, I have HBO Max. I have Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
But that's for sports only. I think I told you that. Right. But I mean, there's some shows on there too. I mean, the iCarly reboot.
Halo.
Actually, yeah, Halo has been okay so far. But I mostly go there for like watching sports.
Right.
There's that, and then I have Disney Plus as well.
Right.
I don't have Netflix anymore. It got too expensive for us. So maybe in the future I might get it back, but it's all good.
Once they dial down the prices.
Yeah, exactly. They got to work on. Yeah, they're pretty deep in debt and whatnot. So
damn, it's straight with the shade, man. you went straight for that throat with that comment.
So
careful, man. I want to get hired. Don't throw me under the bus.
Oh yeah,
I want to get hired.
No. I love Netflix, man. The wide variety. I mean, giving actors the opportunity
okay.
to.
If anyone's watching this, he doesn't like Netflix. I love Netflix. Okay. Please start reading my emails. I swear, I have a good pitch meeting.
Get the Netflix representatives out here. Anyway, so. Yeah, so I said HBO Max, so that's some of the platforms I go to for watching TV shows. If you're asking like specifically what I'm watching, I've been watching mostly in HBO Max. That's actually one of my favorite platforms because they have a lot of good originals. Right. I've been watching Barry with Bill Hader. I've been watching Flight Attendant with Kaylee Cuoco. I think that's her name.
Yeah,
from Big Bang Theory.
She's Harley Quinn too.
Yep, she's Harley Quinn. I'm going to watch that whenever that comes out too. And then I'm watching White Lotus. I just started White Lotus because I saw that Sydney Sweeney from Euphoria's on it and the Dario's on it too. So I figured I might as well watch some other things they've been on. So just to gauge like how they're going to do, you know, and other projects that I'll mention, you know, I'll mention those names again later if we do, you know, touch on them again. But yeah, that's my watch list right now. Oh, and also I forgot Steven Universe. One of my favorite Cartoon Network shows.
I haven't seen Steven Universe. That was like that came out once I left like Cartoon Network.
Yeah,
but I did watch Adventure Time when it came out.
Yeah, that's a classic too. I definitely watched that in its entirety.
And like that show with Steve with you know Haley's her name the flight attendant show. Like, is that one good?
Yeah, I just finished. The series ended, so there was two seasons. Or sorry, there were three seasons. My bad. But yeah, there was two. I'm sorry, there were only two seasons. I'm sorry. They're probably turning on the screen that says how long it ran. But yeah, it was a good show. I liked it. A little bit of comedy and drama for sure. So you get the best of both worlds. And Cuoco's not too bad. I mean, I like Cuoco in Harley Quinn. I wasn't the biggest Big Bang Theory fan, but I think she did a good job in this role. So
that's cool. I've never seen that show. I've seen ads on it like on YouTube, but I've never gotten
it. Yeah, I mean, if you guys haven't watched it, if you haven't watched it, John, I would definitely recommend that show. Right. I think you watched Barry too. I mentioned Barry earlier. So
yeah, I started watching Barry. I haven't picked up season two, but I've seen the first season. It was very strong. I really liked it, especially that first episode. And like,
yeah.
The episode where he has a conversation with someone in the car.
Yes. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. We're trying to like not step on too many spoilers because people may not have watched this show. So, but I know what you're talking about for sure. For sure. But let's shift into something that we've obviously are accustomed to. We've been growing up since we were little kids, the Marvel Universe, right? The MCU, also known right now in 2022, the MCMU, the Marvel Cinematic Multiverse.
Oh yes. Honestly, I was expecting a Wong joke in there. I was not expecting like a multiverse thing.
Oh, so MCW. Right?
Like the WCU, the One Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, there you go. That's been the running joke for the past phase four or all phase four right now.
Yeah, it's phase Wong right now, baby.
It's phase Wong. There you go. Man, shout out to Wong. He's been pretty much every project, right? You know, from the Disney Plus show, or actually even from the movies, and, you know, soon to be the Disney Plus shows. We'll talk about She-Hulk later on, but, yeah. You know, John, I want to ask you real quick, you know, if we're talking about Disney Plus, you know, something that Marvel has done this phase is, you know, a lot of experimental projects, mostly on the Disney Plus app. Mm-hmm. You know, there has been shows like Hawkeye, shows like Moon Knight, shows like Falcon and the Soldier, WandaVision. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of, you know, content to consume. But, you know, John, something that people have, the biggest complaint that people have said, while, you know, these shows have their, you know, good things, some of the bad things that I've heard about this show, and something I personally feel like is been like the biggest fallback for them, is the replay value for these mm-hmm. shows. Because, you know, with something like WandaVision or Falcon and the Soldier, it seems like the show just ends and you're just waiting for the next scene to come. It's right. not like you were part of the journey. You're part of like the season, but mm-hmm. after that, there's not much to, you know, to go off.
It feels like one very long movie.
Exactly. It feels like 1 4-hour movie. Yeah. But John, I want to ask you, you know, out of these six shows, between WandaVision, Falcon and the Soldier, Loki, Hawkeye, all of them, where do you rank? Where do you personally rank these shows? And what is, yeah, based on your experience?
Loki would be number one. I feel like that one really took a pretty good advantage of it being a TV show. You know, with like this very expensive budget, of course. But like also, it felt like a narrative. Like it had a pretty good thing going on. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, after that is probably Falcon and Winter Soldier, and then Moon Knight. Then it would be WandaVision. Then it would be Hawkeye, and then it would be What If.
Okay, that's I think I've seen like a lot of rankings similar to what you said. So. For me, you know, before I ask you, like, you know, why did you rank them in those certain, in that certain order? For me, you know, based on, you know, I've seen all the, you know, all the seasons of these shows. Mm-hmm. For me, if it's like based on, you know, how they executed this season, how they, you know, went about with the story and the finale, everything else about that. For me, I would say, I would say Loki's number one, right, for sure. Not because it's getting a season two, but I mean, it's, you know, it actually changed the MCU in a different direction, right? With the whole multiverse concept. So that's number one for me. I enjoyed that series for sure. I also enjoyed Moon Knight. I would rank it pretty high because it's its own thing. It didn't feel like it was part of anything else. Right. You know, he was doing his own thing in Europe, right? He was not involved with the blip. You know, he wasn't involved with anything with Thanos or anything like that. So it wasn't like, you know, it was leading up to Moon Knight. Moon Knight just popped up out of nowhere. Or he's already existed in the MCU. But he just now became, you know, public to our eyes. Moon Knight for me is 2. 3, I would say WandaVision. I would say WandaVision because it helped me understand more about Multiverse of Madness. And, you know, how, you know, Wanda reacted to, or how's Wanda's problems in WandaVision translated to Multiverse of Madness. So I would say that. I would put Hawkeye next if we're at 4. Yeah, Hawkeye next because, I mean, well, spoiler warning, but Kingpin was introduced too little too late. That's probably the best part of the series. There wasn't much about Jeremy Renner I could really get behind. And actually, I mean, you sent me the deleted scenes for the show, and I was like, wow, this would have been really perfect for Clint's story because he's done, right? He's retired. Yeah. So, and then my last two, I say What If, 5, and then Falcon and Soldier last. I know you ranked it in second.
Yeah,
I ranked it last. So the reason why I did my list this way is because one of the things I've heard a lot, and one of the things I've realized after watching like multiple, you know, episodes and multiple seasons of these shows, is the replayability, like the replay value of these shows. Like it feels like, you know, you start off with, you know, this character, someone that's already been established, or a new character, you go through this journey, but then, you know, it's either at, you know, at the finale, it's like either there's like something more to come, you have to wait like another year or something like that, or, you know, the story ends like that. So
yeah, no, I get that. Like that's, I'd say like probably the biggest fault with a lot of the like Marvel Disney Plus shows is that it's what you said, the replay value. What If has the advantage that it's an anthology. So you can just pop whatever episode you want. If you want to watch the zombies episode, you can watch the zombie episode. If you want to watch the T'Challa Star-Lord episode, you can do that. You know, you don't have to like be catch up, you know. But I think that replay value definitely is a thing. WandaVision, I think, really helped WandaVision, that the hype that it had with each episode, the mystery, the conversation. That's what I think really helped WandaVision. You know, I don't think WandaVision's bad by any means. No, I just think that like the conversation really helped that show, you know, and really helped people set up expectations, which, you know, some of them were not met. And but funny enough, ironically enough, those expectations were the things that, you know, got people, you know, tuning in like every, I think it's like every Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah, I think after WandaVision, it's you know, these shows are coming out every Wednesday. So, yeah. Like, I mean, you have Star Wars content coming out a different day, or is it the same day? I don't know.
I think Boba Fett was Wednesdays.
And like, okay, I think
Obi-Wan is Wednesdays too.
But like,
right now we don't have any Disney Plus shows running, you know, until like Ms. Marvel, which I'm pretty sure Obi-Wan will be done by then.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So that's coming up as well. And then She-Hulk. So obviously, you know, those are something we'll consider as we, you know, watch those in its entirety. But let's touch on She-Hulk. And Ms. Marvel, I mean, you know, it's going to be great to see what she does. I know she is the second brown superhero in the MCU. The first one was Kumail in that amazing Eternals movie with Crow, the best villain in the MCU. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah, honestly, I actually enjoyed Eternals. I thought it was pretty good. I liked how different it was. That's something I really like about this phase of the MCU. It's different. Each movie feels different, which is something that people have been complaining about the MCU, is that every movie started feeling the same. And now they're like, okay, well, let's throw in like Shang-Chi. Let's throw in a multiverse of madness. Let's do Moon Knight, you know. And I feel like that's really what's been helping this phase of the MCU feel fresh. But I actually really like Eternals. But yeah, like, he is the best villain of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're actually selling Funko Pops of him. We already saw it, like, you know, recently. Whenever we saw Multiverse of Madness, we saw like Funko Pops of him.
Yeah, that was kind of shocking. I was like, oh yeah, he is a character.
Well, you know, Crow is a pretty memorable character. But I know for you, a character that's been, like, on your mind for a long time, and I'm sure it's one of your favorite superheroes, not Namor, Daredevil, Matt Murdock, Charlie Cox, however you want to say his name, but he is officially in the MCU. He's made it confirmed. They're making a TV show about it on Disney Plus as well. I just want your quick thoughts on that real quick. I know there's Luke Cage as well, Jessica Jones, all the Netflix shows that, you know, we've all watched on Netflix, Punisher, Defenders, all of them, Iron Fist, but Daredevil is the one that's been getting the most attention. Because he is rumored to be in She-Hulk as well. But you know, obviously, you know, if we're talking about Daredevil right now, I want to ask you, like, you know, how do you feel about the direction you're going with Daredevil in the MCU?
Well, first of all, I actually thought you were going to make another like joke. I was expecting, I was like, he didn't say Morbius. I wonder what curveball he has waiting for me. But no, like, Daredevil, he means, you know, he means something to me. You know, I love that character. You know, I was exposed to him the perfect age, perfect time. I was in my Catholic, like the high point of my Catholicism back then.
Okay.
So like, it was perfect. But like, Daredevil means a lot to me because like, he goes through a lot of the same struggles I go through in some ways. Not as extreme, but like,
Of course.
I don't come home like just brutally beaten up, or do I?
Yeah.
The thing is that I relate to him because of that. I relate to him because of like the certain things that he goes through. Not everything, but like things like his stubbornness and his mindset of not trying to let people in, even though he needs to. That's something that I relate to in some capacity. But like, now that you, with what you asked, you know, they said that it wasn't really a continuation of Daredevil, the Netflix show.
Okay.
From my understanding, it seems like they're going to do a soft reboot. They'll acknowledge what happened but in the same way they will like structure it in a way where like they can be like, yeah, you know, it's it's in the MCU, it's different, you know. Think of it as like Suicide Squad and the Suicide Squad. That's a soft reboot.
Right.
What people are worried about is the tone, you know, because Daredevil, when it came out in 2015, it was different from anything the MCU had to offer. And it still is. It still is different from anything the MCU has to offer yet. You know, Moon Knight, which a lot of people, and Multiverse of Madness, people think are like the darkest entries of the MCU. But Daredevil, I think, like, you know, it's still unmatched. And it's not because, like, it's dark, it's broody, and that's what makes it good. The violence makes it good. No, it's because of the characters. It's because of the writing. You know, they're human characters, human, you know, actual human beings going through this. And that's what made Daredevil so good. You can get behind the majority of those characters and you can understand where they're coming from. Even Fisk. The violence helps sell the brutality of that world and the realistic aspect of, you know, that's how crime is. Crime is unforgiving. And, you know, the fear is that we're going to lose that if, you know, the show going to Disney Plus, whatever this Disney Plus Daredevil thing is, that we're going to lose that. They already have two new writers. They didn't hire the showrunner from season 3, who already had season 4 ready to go before Netflix pulled the plug.
Interesting.
And that's another thing that has people worried about, you know. And the thing about Daredevil is that tone, you know, the way they explored the themes of, you know, abandonment, you know, depression, you know, the whole inner demons thing, and also faith, you know, which faith is a very big part of that character, you know, his Catholicism.
Yes.
That's a part of who he is. You know, mm-hmm. So you just can't take that away from him that easily. You know, those are things people are afraid that this new Disney Plus Daredevil will not have. And I feel bad for the writers because, like, no matter what they do, people are gonna be like, you know, eagle-eyed on him. People are gonna be hard on them because, you know, the expectations are so high. You know, like I said, like, Daredevil is one of the best things Marvel has ever done, and so expectations are gonna be high. I'm hopeful for Daredevil. I'm kind of scared in some ways, but I'm hopeful. You know, I trust that Charlie Cox wouldn't sign in on this if he knew it would, you know, hurt.
If he wasn't, if he saw it from the jump, like, yeah, this isn't for me, like, he wouldn't have signed on, and they could have recasted Charlie Cox. But, like, he is Daredevil. He is Matt Murdock. So he saw something that we didn't see.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, the thing is that we've had Matt Murdock show up in No Way Home. You know, it's not that much, but, like, it's perfect. It's not to be like, That's Matt Murdock. Kingpin, however, he had a more extended role in Hawkeye. The thing is that I never felt that presence that Kingpin gave off, you know, in the Netflix show. Because Kingpin is not just a physical threat, he's an intellectual threat. You know, this guy is always 10 steps ahead. And it's kind of like Darth Vader. The moment he walks into that room, he's in control. And if he's not in control, that's when you really should be afraid.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
When he's unhinged, that's horrifying. But I never got that from Hawkeye's Kingpin. You know, even though it's the same guy, even though it's Vincent D'Onofrio, I didn't get that from Hawkeye until I watched the deleted scene. I watched that deleted scene he had with Kate Bischoff's mom, you know, played by Vera Farmiga. It's just a simple scene of them having a dialogue.
I recognize that you like to get down to business. I respect that. I'd like to offer my condolences to you and your daughter. I liked Derek, but your husband made a mess of things, and now you're going to clean it up. For her now. You don't have to.
And I'm like, that is straight out of Daredevil. Like, that's the guy. That's Kingpin. That's the Kingpin that I know. And that's what people are afraid of. People are afraid that, you know, whatever the MCU officially does with these characters, it won't live up to what, you know, Netflix did. And technically Netflix did it because, like, ABC kind of produced those shows. So they're technically Disney shows. So that's why they could just go and do it. Like, that's why they're on Disney Plus right now. But if anyone knows better, correct me if I'm wrong, but like that's why they're on Disney Plus right now, because like ABC like is from Disney and ABC like helped produce those shows. But anyway, yeah, I mean, people are afraid. I'm hopeful. You know, I'm just glad that Daredevil got born again. You know, I'm so excited to see Matt Murdock, Foggy, Karen. You know, I'm excited to see all of them come back, and hopefully Bullseye.
Yeah, yeah. I actually haven't gone to finish the series itself, but I know there's Bullseye, there's Elektra, some other characters as well in the Daredevil Rogue, if you want to call it that. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned Moon Knight and Multiverse of Madness being like, you know, dark and gritty, different from what, you know, the campy vibe that the MCU has been notoriously known for. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel like Daredevil was definitely a different direction. You honestly could say it's its own thing.
Yeah.
It's not even Marvel.
Yeah. Like, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to say, like, yeah, Daredevil. I mean, you have the name from the actual comics, right? You have Daredevil. You put him into this universe, but, like, it's very grounded. It's really grounded. And I know he is the only one that has superpowers, but everyone else, it just feels natural what they're doing, like what they're going through. And you said, like, you feel like you find a relatability to some of these characters, specifically, you know, Matt Murdock as a person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you saying. Yeah, it's definitely one of those shows you have to watch on Disney Plus right now.
Yeah, and like, you know, what you said is pretty true, you know, and like, yeah, people are just afraid they lose what make those characters special. Not just Daredevil, but also, you know, Jessica Jones, Punisher, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist. Like, there's things that Netflix did so well with those characters. People are afraid they're going to lose that once they're on Disney Plus, you know? And like, you mentioned like Moon Knight and Multiverse of Madness, and you did put out a good point. The MCU has flirted, you know, with like darker tones, more in the TV shows than in the movies. But like it's never gone as dark as Daredevil, you know. And Daredevil, you also made a good point. It's like it stands on its own. You know, my dad, he's never picked up a comic book ever in his life. The only Cape movies he's ever seen are the Raimi Spider-Man movies, which he loves.
Speaking of the Spider-Man, I actually got on here, but it's the Amazing Spider-Man, so Garfield's.
Yeah, I love that suit. But like, yeah, so my dad's cultured. But like, he's never picked up a comic book. He's not a geek by any way. But the moment I played Daredevil in the family room, he was immediately hooked. And we ended up binging Daredevil that week.
Oh, wow. Like one season or?
Season one, yeah. Like we finished season one that week. And like, it was also because we were we had that blizzard, so like we didn't have work.
Oh yeah,
we could just stay home, just finish it. But like, yeah, like Daredevil, you know, he was hooked, you know, with Daredevil, and that just comes to show you that it stands on its own, and like you don't have to know like all this crazy stuff, you know, which is something that my parents have been complaining about, because you know they watch No Way Home, and it's like I need to know so much. Into these movies, so like, you know,
yeah.
People get lost, like the average viewer just get lost, and Marvel is just at this point where it's like either you know us or you don't, either way you're gonna make
I think that's the one thing about this. I forgot to mention that too. I'm glad you mentioned that about Phase 4 specifically. You know, after Endgame, a lot of things change for the MCU. I can see like where you're coming from, as someone that has watched Marvel for a long time. You know, compared to you and like an average Joe, the average Joe's not going to know about, you know, what's happening, you know, with the multiverse thing, what's happening with, why is Loki, I thought Loki died in Endgame, you know, it's like those kind of things. He's died like four times, right? So, they probably won't understand, like, the X-Men connection, like, you know, all that stuff. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of strings to tie when it comes to, like, the MCU. I mean, it's very vast. It's very vast, so... People always ask me, like, how can I catch up the MCU? I mean...
Start from the top.
Yeah, I mean, not everything is worth watching. Like, there's some things you could just watch on YouTube, like, video essays out of that. But, like, there's still some, like, characters and some storylines you have to follow to understand, like, why they make the decisions they make throughout the whole, you know, phase 1-3 and then going to phase 4. So...
Yeah,
I mean, like you mentioned, John, like it's definitely a very fast universe when it comes to MCU, but also it's very fast in its, and it's already like, you know, very different in its talent. You know, there's a lot of talented actors in MCU that have played parts that, you know, are currently playing parts right now. You have guys like, you know, Chadwick, you know, rest in peace to him. Tom Holland, who we didn't know, even know who he was. RDJ, that came to his own. Chris Evans, who was, you know, at one point Johnny Storm in the Fox universe. You know, we have guys like that that have been household names for, you know, for the longest time. And people are synonymous with their superhero character. Mm-hmm. However, you know, when it comes to its antithesis, the DCEU has been the opposite when it comes to their actors and how scandalous they have become in their own personal lives. You know, before we get into, like, you know, that kind of drama, I absolutely want to talk about this universe as well. You know, John, has this been, like, a universe you've been keeping up with for the longest time, ever since, like, you know, Man of Steel with Snyder?
Yeah, you know, like, I love Man of Steel. Like, I watched that movie. I loved it. That's a movie that made me really like Superman, you know? Like, I love Man of Steel, and I like Snyder's work in the DC extended universe. You know, like, I like Batman v Superman. I can't say I'm the biggest fan of, and I am talking about the Ultimate Edition, but I absolutely love this Justice League movie. I have it on Blu-ray over there, but I love his Justice League movie. And, you know, I've been keeping up with DCEU, and, like, I think DC has been smart in a sense that they're like, okay, we not only have this main timeline, but we also have other universes, you know, where we can have our Jokers, we can have our the Batmans, you can have all these different stories going on, you know. And, like, honestly, for me, it's great because I love Marvel, I love DC. So, like, either way, like, I end up winning. I love them both. I grew up with them both, you know, and they all have a special place in my heart, you know. So, like, I don't really, like, there's not a competition.
Yeah, I mean, they've been, I mean, if anything, like, DC's been trying to catch up with Marvel for the longest time, you know, and they kind of rush their, you know, projects to catch up with Marvel. You know, they try to create, like, a Endgame kind of deal in their universe, you know, with Justice League when it was Whedon, you know. For, I'm pretty sure everyone knows, you know, when Snyder's daughter passed away, he had to step down and Whedon came and basically reshot the whole movie, it seemed like. So he tried to capture that Avengers, because he did direct the Avengers back in 2012. He tried to recapture that feeling with the Justice League.
Yeah, like, that's a well-documented thing that, like, it could use its own conversation, to be honest, and just break it down. But, like, the reshoots, the Frankenstein version of Snyder's Justice League, you know, let's just say thank God for the Snyder Cut, you know?
Yeah. Honestly. But yeah, you know, as much as, you know, people have been, you know, mixed about the DCEU and what they've been doing as far as, like, their projects and, you know, the direction of their timeline. You know, I think we both know that Discovery recently bought Warner Brothers. So they're scrapping a lot of projects. They're trying to, you know, keep some projects as well. You know, some of the projects that have been slated, especially for this year, have been projects like, we already got the Batman, you know, back in March. And that's its own separate universe as well. But I can mention, you know, they're trying to, like, get, you know, have your cake and eat it too, right? You can get a bit of this, you know, in the DCEU. But when it comes to, like, the actual timeline, they're trying to, you know, recreate it to where a movie like The Flash, which is coming out next year, is going to rewrite the timeline and, you know, change up the Justice League.
It's kind of hard to keep up with. And, like, I think it's going to get a little harder with the change of leadership. But, like, yeah, like you said, like, that's, I think, DC's biggest strength right now is that they have the buffet. You can have whatever you want, you know? Yeah. And, like, you can watch those movies standalone without, you know, knowing, like, any backstory or how to be
the world.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's DC's biggest strength right now. And they're really playing into it, which is good for them, man. Because, like, I feel like now they figured out that they can be their own entity. They don't have to do what Marvel is doing, you know? So yeah, that's honestly what I really love about DC. And like I said, I love them both, you know. And, like, for me, it's not a competition. For other people it is, but for me, it's like, I love them both. Like, bring it all in.
Well, John, we're almost towards the end of our conversation. We talked a lot about, you know, all of these, you know, movies and whatnot coming out. But, you know, I gotta ask you, you know, where do you see, you know, Marvel Studios, DCEU going? And are there any projects that are there any, like, future projects coming out this year or next year that you're definitely going to be watching?
Yeah, I mean, whatever Matt Reeves does next with the Batman, I'm going to be there. I think Marvel is doing a lot of, they're slowly taking more risks with the things that they're doing. So that's exciting. You know, I'm really looking forward to both of them. When it comes to like upcoming things, Black Adam's on my radar.
Yeah.
Multiverse of Madness, I already watched it. And like the rest are coming up. The next MCU things are the TV shows. But like when it comes to movies, Black Adam, The Flash, I'm slightly worried about. I'm like, I don't know if this one's going to work. Because like another multiverse story. But I have hopes for that one. Batwoman's coming up. Blue Beetle.
Yeah, I mean, it's also good to know that they're also going to streaming, you know, side as well with HBO Max and, you know, got a new project on there like Batgirl and Peacemaker, right? So, and Harley Quinn, right?
Yeah, and Harley Quinn. Yeah, Peacemaker's, I watched that show when it came out. Like, it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was solid. I like that. I can't see anyone else playing that character except John Cena. So.
Oh yeah, it was written specifically for him. There's no one else who could play that version of Peacemaker.
And then having someone like James Gunn run the project, like, it was perfect.
So. Oh yeah, match made in heaven. And that was something he wrote. Like, he wrote
it.
Yeah, he wrote it out of boredom. I had this idea, so let me just write this TV show as a. You know, out of boredom, and let me just casually like pitch it to Warner Brothers and see if they like it.
Well, they did want someone, or they did want one of the characters to have their own spinoff, and it so happens to be Peacemaker that he ended up writing a whole, you know, project for during quarantine. So it worked out.
Yeah, and like, you know, it was a very interesting choice for it to be Peacemaker, because like you think it would be Harley, you think it would be like Bloodsport, but you know, it's Peacemaker, and they made someone who you think was a horrible person, you'd see his point of view and like why he is the way he is, you know, and why he believes the things he believes in, you know, and that's something that James Gunn is very good at. You know, he gives these, you know, ragtag, the rejects, you know, he makes them the heroes and he makes you relate to them.
Yeah. And then once again, like, you know, it's its own thing, right? It's not connected to the main timeline. It's our own adventure, own story. So I like that about the Peacemaker show too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, you know, just to wrap up on this, you know, projects that I, you know, are going to look out for this year. I mentioned Batgirl. That's going to be on HBO Max with Michael Keaton. He's coming back as 89 Batman. So that'd be exciting. I think we saw his suit, you know, it came out, you know, a while back, the new suit. I like it. You know, I like how it looks. I think it'll be on the screen here if you guys see it. There's no yellow belt. I know that was in the old movies with Tim Burton.
Yeah.
I wish they like made that a little bit more, you know, saturated with the yellow, but other than that, like I'm glad the emblem is still, you know, the same as Burton's. But yeah, overall, I think I'm excited for, you know, I'm excited for that as well. Black Adam, you mentioned, I'm going to watch that for sure. Shazam too. I don't know if you mentioned that.
Oh my gosh. I forgot about Shazam.
It got pushed up, which is weird.
Yeah. So. I'm excited for Shazam. Like I really liked the first movie.
Yeah, it felt like it was really campy. It actually felt like an MCU movie, you know, personally, because the way it's just like campy and family oriented.
I'd say it felt more like a Sam Raimi movie.
Oh, okay. Why do you say that?
I mean, obviously, there's horror elements in Shazam, but also I think it's because of how honest and pure it felt. Because like Sam Raimi's very like, that's like how he likes to approach his characters, you know, in a very human way. So just how it was told, it reminded me like Sam Raimi. Like it reminded me of like the first Spider-Man movie. You know, and I really like the director, David S. Sandberg. I think like, you know, I think he's great.
Yeah. I mean, the cast is good too with the Levi, you know, I forgot the kid's name that plays Billy Batson, but yeah, he's a good character. Good actor too. He was a Disney actor, a former Disney actor.
So, really?
Yeah, I mean that's the thing with these studios, right? Because like, you can, you know, actors can, there's no like obligation to, you know, commit to one, you know, studio compared to another. Like, there's been crossovers of many people going from Marvel to DC, DC to Disney, Disney to, you know, some actors may not get the pleasantries of getting as many gigs as they want. If you guys know what I'm going towards, it is Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. They've been, you know, going back and forth disputing this trial that's actually already ended recently. I'm not going to, you know, get too into detail about what happened, you know, who's wrong, who's right. And I'm more focused on the consequences. So for me, when it comes to like Amber Heard, if we all know, she actually sued Johnny Depp $100 million in her lawsuit, in comparison to Johnny Depp's $50 million, you know, lawsuit to her. Amber Heard actually hasn't earned enough money to where if she is to owe that $50 million, it wouldn't be enough, because she's actually only earned enough from the Aquaman, like the first Aquaman movie, and then whatever she's going to get from the second one. It still won't be enough, because I think according to her agent, she was supposed to get like up to $50 million for this franchise, this Aquaman franchise, being Mira, right?
So over the course of 5 years, it's very reasonable to consider that she would have been in at least one film a year at a minimum of $4 million, because that's what her precedent would have been had she renegotiated. And it's important to note that in her Justice League contract, if there is a Aquaman 3, her price is set at $4 million. So it's very reasonable to assume and to believe that if she did a film a year for 5 years at a minimum of $4 million a year without any negotiation, which probably would have happened, but let's just say that baseline, that would be another $20 million over that time frame.
So combining all of these opinions and calculations that you've had, what, if any, range are the losses you are estimating for Amber Heard but for the Depp-Waldman statements?
Right. So again, it's really important that I looked at, and hopefully you understand this, that it's over time, right? So let's just say a minimum of 5 years that we're going to talk about these losses, and it could be more, but at minimum, if you look at the film, the television, and the endorsement contracts, it's very likely that Ms. Heard should have earned between $45 and $50 million over that time period.
And obviously, Johnny Depp, you know, he has his gigs. He's done a lot with, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, all of that, you know, in the past as well. So it's just like the end of the day, you know, you can give me your take on this, but do you feel like Amber Heard and Johnny Depp's lives are going to change after this trial?
For better or for worse, that's definitely that's something that we could tell like later down the line. Although, like, I guess a lot of people could say for Amber, it's definitely for worse. Yeah. Johnny's kind of been like the people's champion in like this situation. But yeah, there definitely will be changes. I mean, we are already starting to see that, because like, apparently like they cut a lot of her screen time out of Aquaman, a lot.
Yeah.
And even during filming, they did it, you know, like her role started getting smaller and smaller and smaller from what, you know, Amber's lawyers said. You know, it's crazy, you know, and I think it's, call me weird, but I think it's kind of fair, because like when Johnny Depp was just fired from Fantastic Beasts, like no questions asked. So, and it's also the same studio. So like, you know, equal treatment, you know, like.
Yeah, of course.
But like. Yeah, it's their lives are definitely going to change. For better or for worse, we'll see. Yeah. Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I was able to catch up with some of the key moments during this whole, you know, what, 2 week, 3 week trial. There's definitely a lot of things that caught my eye. Like I said, I want to go too deep into the trial. Just like, you know, thinking about, you know, post-verdict, I think it's definitely going to change a lot for both these actors. I mean, I would say more specifically for her, just because, like I told you, like, when it comes to the money, I feel like she's lacking in that department compared to Depp and his team.
Yeah, of course.
So, and then, how do I say this? One thing I actually noticed throughout this whole trial was the fact that they brought up other actors within, you know, the DCEU and within Aquaman. Obviously, the main man himself, you know, Momoa, he was mentioned. Him and Zendaya were mentioned. Momoa was mentioned because the president of Warner Brothers or DC, right, was saying that there were chemistry issues with Momoa and Heard. Mm-hmm. But it's weird that they say that, because Momoa has, I mean, to my knowledge, hasn't had much chemistry issues with like the Justice League characters, like Gal Gadot. Yeah. He hasn't had much chemistry issues with the Fast and Furious cast, you know? So it's weird that it's just Amber Heard that has a problem with, you know, this one actor. It probably says a lot about, you know, her more than Momoa. And then Zendaya was mentioned as well because of the money situation. Like I mentioned, like I feel like money is something that Amber is lacking in, and the fact that she saw that, you know, ever since Zendaya was like a Disney Channel kid, she's, you know, built all this money, all this success, all this fame, to where Amber, she's only done like minor roles. You know, mm-hmm. she started pretty, you know, in her 20s. And then it was only then we actually knew her as, you know, Mira in Aquaman. So, I mean, yeah, I think it was unfair to like mention both those guys' names when they haven't really done anything wrong in other people's eyes.
Yeah. And like, if you've seen like videos of Momoa, he's just like a giant teddy bear, man. Like, he seems so nice and down to earth. And also Zendaya, you know, I think she's one of the best actresses to come out of, you know, actors in general to come out of Disney. And I'm not just talking about her talent, just saying like unproblematic, chill, under the radar, you know, she seems like a very down to earth person, you know, and like, you know, it's weird, but like this whole celebrity thing is just weird. I mean, it's weird to watch a trial and someone seriously like mention Aquaman during a trial, you know, like,
yeah,
that's just weird for some reason, man. Like, I never thought in my life I'd hear that, or somebody mentioned Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, it was like, okay, that's, we're here now, I guess. Like, where do we go? I don't know, but we're here now.
Hey, Hollyweird's going to stay Hollyweird. That's what I say.
So. That's very accurate. It's always been weird.
Yeah. You know, obviously, as much as we talked about, like, you know, the scandals and everything else involving some actors, you know, there's obviously a lot to look forward to when it comes to DCEU, when it comes to, you know, Marvel, and what we talked about today. And yeah, I mean, I can't wait to see some of these projects, and I'm pretty sure you're excited to see some of these projects as well. And yeah, we'll see what happens moving forward.
Crazy excited. It's going to be great. Like, I really have a lot of high hopes for both Marvel, DC. And, you know, like, hopefully we get some, we can just enjoy it. Like, whatever it is they have in store for us.
Yeah, I think, you know, that being said, I think you gave us a pretty good closing point for this episode. John, I want to thank you, obviously, for making time out of your day to talk with me about movies and everything else. Regarding that, we had a great conversation, and I hope the people that are watching, you know, we're able to catch up on a lot of things and get a sense of what we like to watch. And, you know, we're, you know, at the end of the day, entertained. So once again, John, thank you for joining me.
Oh, my pleasure, man. My pleasure. I always like talking to you, and like, you know, it's fun. I like talking to you here as well. Anytime, like, just give me a call and let me know.
Yeah. You know, speaking of connecting, you know, as friends, I think some people should be able to get to know you personally. I know you mentioned a YouTube channel, but are there any other socials that people should follow you on to connect with you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to be a little bit more attentive on like the Red Crusader like side of things. That's the name of the YouTube channel, Red Crusader Media. And there's a Twitter as well. Red Crusader Media 43, I think it is. If not, like, I'm pretty sure like a graphic will show up or something. I don't know.
it'll be on this side of your face, so you'll see it. If you guys don't see that on the screen, it'll be in the description. But yeah, it's usually on the screen, so you don't have to worry about that. Awesome. Well, I mean, good luck on your YouTube channel. I hope it goes well. I'll be sure to keep an eye out for that and videos for that channel. Mm-hmm. You know, before I do close this episode, I do want to mention this. I think it's very important that we mention this. I want to save it towards the end of the episode. For those that do know, and I'm pretty sure everyone does know, we hope to talk about, you know, these, you know, have great conversations and, you know, talk about things that, you know, give us a little bit more uplifting, you know, vibe and, you know, just keep us, you know, happy. But, you know, there are things as well that happen right now, especially in our country, that definitely have caught our attention the past month. And, you know, thoughts and prayers to those families that have suffered, you know, it's definitely tough to see what's happening, you know, globally, you know, because in our country. And, you know, I think there has to be some change that's going to happen, you know, and I hope, you know, there's something to be done in the administration. Now, I won't get too deep into that, but, you know, I just want to mention that, you know, because I think it's a very prevalent thing in our society right now. So I don't know if you have anything to add to that, to John. I don't know if you know anyone in that area.
No, that was way too south for, like, I'm way north. You know, that happened like very south from where I am. But man, it was crazy. I was actually getting something checked out for a phone for one of our phones when we heard about it. You know, I was with my mom, and it's scary. You know, my little brother is still in high school. I have my little cousins as well. You know, and I'm pretty sure I cannot imagine what parents are feeling, especially the parents of those kids. You know, like you said, you know, something has to happen. There has to be a change. I think that's something we can all agree on. And I hope that we can all mutually come to a consensus that could, you know, prevent something like this from happening again. Because, you know, enough is enough. And, you know,
yeah,
like when I was a kid, my parents always told me there are two places in the world where you could be absolutely safe in: home and school. We need to bring that back, you know?
Yeah.
We're sending our kids to school, and like, we don't know if it's the last time we'll see them. And that shouldn't be the case at all. You know, no parent should go through, you know, no one should go through all that horrible scenario, you know? And I hope that we come to that solution, you know, where this can just, we no longer have to like mourn like some a tragedy like this again, you know.
Yeah. It definitely takes a community it definitely takes like, you know, coming together as a community to like actually address, you know, what can be done to prevent it. So yeah, thank you for sharing that, man. And like I said, you know, thoughts and prayers to the people, you know, from Buffalo to Uvalde, you know, and everywhere else around the country. Yeah, you know, our thoughts and prayers to you guys. Thank you again, John, for joining me for the episode. I really had a good time. And be sure you guys connect with John on his socials and YouTube channel as well. If you guys enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, turn on the notification bell, and like the video so you get more videos just like this and all the good stuff. Be sure to look out for more videos on our IG, TikTok. Everything else is in the description. And with that being said, thank you guys so much for watching the show. And as always, thank you for having us on The Avenues.